now the Foo Button.
Welcome to the Foo Button Podcast, where at any time it could go haywire. Now here are your hosts, Jay Surf and Twan.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to episode 3 of the Foo Button. I am Jay Surf, and with me, as always, is Jimmy Buffett Vinyl Goat himself, my brother from another mother. Twan, what's up, man?
What's going on, Jay? How are you doing today?
Good, man. How you doing?
Man, no complaints. It's been a long week, and looking forward to kind of get out of the mundane part of my week and do something entertaining.
Yeah, man. What are you drinking?
I'm still on this Modelo kick. So
on the Modelo kick, man.
Still on the Modelo kick. I got a few left, so maybe next time I'll be into something else.
Yeah, no fucking lies, brother.
No fucking lies, man. Cheers. What are you drinking?
Cheers. I got a little ginger peach cannabis seltzer.
Nice. How's that taste?
Oh, it tastes real good.
Peachy?
It tastes very, very peachy.
Nice. What's the milligrams in that?
Oh, so this one has 3 milligrams THC, my fourth or fifth one. So drugs are kicking in now.
Nice.
Cheers, brother. Here's to episode 3.
Cheers to you, man. It's I'm glad we can get back together and do it.
I always got to ask, man, what'd you listen to today?
So I was cruising home today off to see The Lizard, actually.
Ooh.
It was one of those things I haven't listened to in a while, and I was scrolling through my, my Jimmy catalog and folder, and just hit upon that one. You know, smooth sounding album, late '80s, just a great. It's just a fun album, you know, different sound, and yeah. So that's what I listened to. What about you?
I actually listened to A1A.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I got to be honest, A1A it's definitely one of my probably personal favorite albums. It's really hard to pick, you know, I guess a true favorite out of those 1970s albums, because I think they're so kind of special. But there's something about A1A that just really flows nicely. And honestly, I would make the argument that B side of A1A is one of the best B sides of a record as far as like songwriting talent on songs go.
It's, you know, as far as studio albums go, it's one of his best, you know, and it's one of those albums that it puts you somewhere. You know, we've all been to Key West a bunch of times, but it just, that whole album screams The Island, you know? And it's just, it's probably up there with everybody's favorite. I mean, Tin Cup, you know, I've been giving it a lot of thought lately. And to me, I think that's the one song that I could, if I had one song to listen to of Jimmy, like that's what I'd pick probably 99% of the time, you know?
Makes sense. But,
just a great album.
Yeah. I mean, the B-side, you got Pirate, you got Migration, Trying to Reason, Monica Wheelers, and then Tin Cup. It doesn't really, you know, in my opinion, kind of get much better than that.
No, it's a great album. You know, it's just, again, it's one of the early ones, and I've been kind of on this studio kick lately.
Oh, cool.
You know, I go through these phases, and, you know, I love the live stuff. I got so many bootlegs recorded that, you know, I'm usually listening to that, but every once in a while I go through like this, I don't know. I want to hear a different version of, you know, other than the live stuff.
Yeah. I think I'm going to make it a goal of mine. One day when I'm off, I'm just going to go through chronologically, like, and just listen to all of the studio records and just get like super stoned and maybe order just a bunch of like DoorDash and just have myself a day, because I think it'd be really cool to go from like first album to Down to Earth all the way through to the most current, right?
Yep. Life on the flip side.
On the flip side, for sure. I think I'm going to treat myself and put that on the agenda. So stay tuned, everyone. Maybe episode 4, I'll share my experience of how that day went.
You do got time off from school, so
yeah, man,
could be in the cards.
So yeah. So why don't you tell everybody what the topic is for tonight?
So tonight's topic, we are going to dive into Live by the Bay. I know we've been talking about this for, I think even before we really started doing this, and we just started throwing topics out, and I think we both came up with and said, you know, we need to do just an episode on Live by the Bay.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's one of the GOAT shows, out there of Jimmy on video.
Awesome. It's, you know, it's one of those shows that I think it was probably one of the first videos of Jimmy playing I saw. And it just to, you know, there wasn't that much stuff out there prior to this, you know, a full show, you know, so to speak. There was videos that were out, but to see him play a full show was pretty awesome. And it's been a little bit since I've watched it. And, yeah. But it's one of those shows that, you know, I have it on my Apple Music, and, you know, I listen to it, you know, quite regularly. It's just a great, just the whole thing about it, just a great show. The band sounded super tight. The songs, right, set list was good. So yeah, I'm excited about this one.
Yeah.
Just, it was such a tight sounding band. I think in 85, you know, Jimmy was still partying. But I think he was really into the business side of where he was going. And, you know, demanded, I think, a lot out of his band and the sound, and,
yeah,
you know, one of the tightest sounding bands I think he's had.
And just to confirm, it was the first concert video released by Jimmy. Because I know you mentioned,
I mean,
that
I think
before,
there were some videos prior to it, but the stuff would see at the concert, you know, Tales from Margarita Vision or something.
Yep.
But, you know, where they had, like, you know, one song videos and stuff like that. But to see just a real show was pretty, pretty intense.
This show, you know, what's funny is, this show happened in August of 1985. Do you know, I got a little trivia question for you. Do you know who was born July of 1985?
I don't.
Oh, it's some fucking guy named Jay Cerf. That was me. So yeah, I was pretty much like a month old, maybe like 30 something days. I can't do the math right now. Like 30 something days old when this show took place. So
hold on a minute. What threw me off. That was, my first guess was it was your birthday, but I said 1975.
Oh, 85, man.
You said 75.
Oh, I meant 85.
85. All right. Ask me the question again.
I told you the drugs are kicking in. No, 1985, man. So I was born July 8th, 1985.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah. And these shows took place on, where is it, August 16th and 17th.
Yep, a Friday and Saturday night show.
Yeah, and I guess it rained pretty bad on Friday because based on some of the research that I did, Jimmy retreated to his sailboat, which was docked not too far from the stage, and came back and posted a video that's from the VHS or the DVD is from that Saturday show.
Right. So, you know, Miami Marine Stadium, where this concert takes place, you know, it's down in Miami, it's on the bay. And there is if you haven't seen the video of it, the VHS or the Laserdisc, there is a cut through, like a moat almost, that separates part of the grandstand. And so, you know, people were in the middle of that tubing or, you know, floating on tubes and stuff. So, you know, Jimmy's boat was probably docked up, you know, behind the stage or something. Yeah. So it's one of those places where when I first saw it, I'm like, man, it would be so cool to see a concert in this place. Unfortunately, I was never able to go down and I never saw a show there. I think it got condemned like in the early 90s, 91 or 92.
92, Hurricane Andrew took it out.
Yeah, wiped it out. And I've seen some recent pictures and it was all graffitied up. It's just a dilapidated, you know, and structure that's just sitting there, which is a shame.
It's kind of sad. And I remember it would be maybe 10 or 12, maybe more years ago. I know there was a push to restore it.
Yeah. And and obviously, I mean, it never happened.
And I think Jimmy did like a quick 30-second ad or something.
Hi, this is Jimmy Buffett here for the Miami Marine Stadium. Many of you may remember a few years ago when the Coral Reefers and I played one of, I think, the greatest shows we ever played in South Florida at the stadium. And I think the stadium deserves a future as well. It's a symbol of everything that's great about Florida. Boats, music, water, and great Florida fun. If you feel like I do that the stadium deserves a future, you can help by becoming a member of the Friends of Marine Stadium. This is an all-volunteer group which is part of the Dade Heritage Trust, working hard to bring the stadium back. Please contact your commissioners to support the restoring of this great facility. You can find all the information you need at www.marinestadium.org. We had a great time at the Marine Stadium. Let's do it again. Thanks.
We play them everywhere, but it's never the same as playing home. Thank you.
I feel like Gloria Estefan had something to do with that, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I feel like I remember her name is one of the people trying to get this thing, you know, back up and running.
Well, if I ever get the money, I will reopen that stadium and throw a banger of a show.
There you go, man.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. So,
dude, what an awesome show. I mean, you know, the opening, right, is just legendary. You got those two kind of characters. And I would love to know where those guys are. You know, like, I would just love to know their story, their take on that, those two nights, if they remember it. Those just, you know who I'm talking about. The guys on the rafts and then the guy with, like, the...
Yeah, they're telling Jimmy that they can sail on their boat anytime.
Yeah, he's like, he's gotta get away from those rednecks. He's gotta go sailing more. They're like Jimmy Buffett forever. It's really just a special
atmosphere.
Moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, to have been there.
Yeah, speaking of atmosphere, it's funny, you know, I was listening to the show the other night and talking to the crowd as usual, and this is an interesting crowd. He's like, got any dope dealers out there? Then he's like, what, any DEA people? He's like,
maybe you guys should get together.
He's like, maybe you guys should get together.
There's definitely some great lines out of that whole video or, you know, that concert.
Oh man, and then he's got you know, Miami Vice star in Miami, Don Johnson, introducing him.
I just want to know one thing. Are all you parrot heads ready to party? That's what I want to hear. I want you to give a warm welcome to a real good pal of mine, Jimmy Buffett!
Dude, and 85 was... The height of that show. I think they had just finished like season one. I was huge Miami Vice fan. You know, I watched that, you know, Friday nights when it was on, and it was awesome. And every time I find it on TV, you know, it's pretty much, I'm going to watch it. And so Vice was a big, you know, part of my growing up. So, to see Don Johnson come out and introduce him, it was like, holy shit, like, that is super cool.
And people are going fucking wild, man. And the best is for me is he comes out solo acoustic.
Yeah, and you know it's funny, and maybe let's backtrack to that. You know, when he came out, and we'll probably touch on this later on, I'm sure, but the whole Parrothead thing, you know, and this was, you know, the year of the, you know, of the term that was coined by Timothy B. Schmidt. And it's the first thing Don Johnson says when he gets up on the mic. He's like, you know, hey, Parrotheads. So it's kind of cool to see the start of kind of what it's turned into now, you know?
Yeah. No, it was definitely, you know, and looking back, when you watch it, you really see that, you know, this video was probably put out there with the intention of getting the Parrothead kind of aim out there, making it a real association.
So getting back to him coming out acoustic, I don't ever recall him ever doing that before. You know, I don't remember ever going to see him, you know, to go see a show where he's come out solo acoustic for the first song. You know, I think I would have lost my shit. I like the vibe of it. You know, he comes out with, you know, comes out solo, and then Fingers comes out, and it's just kind of back to how they started, you know, and he slowly brings the band out. I mean,
it's phenomenal.
It is. It really is. You know, the set list was great.
I mean, even just Fingers, it's amazing. Incredible. It's like, it's the best. Go. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
The two of them, I think there was just like unspoken magic.
And they both sounded so good.
Oh man, they're just in their prime. It's 85. You know, Jimmy's a full-blown stash. He's got some hair. It's starting to go a little bit, but rocking it, man. And Fingers got the stash, and they're just crushing it, man.
Isn't he wearing like a little, like he's got like a long hair in the back with some beads or something in it?
Yeah, it looks like he like, you know, just went on vacation to sandals or something. Yep. Paid like, you know, somebody $30 to do that to his hair.
Right.
Yeah.
Too funny. Oh, so man, let's talk about this set list.
Yeah. I mean, he opens up with door number three.
Into Grapefruit. Followed up by We Are the People.
Yeah, I don't want to cut you off, but you also have to remember that songs that we just talked about is the set list from the video, from the movie. Right. And the actual set list is different.
It's compiled over two nights. I think this was the set list. He was supposed to play both nights. And I recently discovered this because of you. I didn't know that what was on the video was not the full concert. And you and I were having a conversation. I mean, this is probably, you know, a year and a half, 2 years back. And I remember you telling me, like, this isn't, you know, the actual set list. And I think you sent me a text of it, of a picture. And I remember just, like, being mind blown. Yeah. And so, didn't mean to cut you off there. Go ahead.
That just reminded me, it's like when Jimmy says, hey, I just watched the new episode of Star Trek, and he's like, my fucking mind is just blown for the whole day.
Yeah. No, I was just like, you know, and I wanted to find out more, and, you know, it's kind of cool to go through and see really the history behind this show, you know?
Yeah. So he actually, in the real set list, he actually opens up with a filling station hold up.
Yeah.
Then Son of a Sailor. Then he goes into door number three. And then after Grapefruit is actually Pencil Thin. And then the full band comes out. We Are the People.
And, you know, I'm looking over this set list, and it's like, you know, there's a lot of, it's funny because 85, you know, we're talking, you know, 30 years ago, 30 plus years ago. And a lot of the songs that are still in his sets now were in this set, but I don't look at this set and go, oh, it's the same thing he's been playing for you know, all these years. It's the stuff, the way it's, you know, organized, the songs that are mixed in here, you know, and I look at the songs that are mixed in that you don't hear at every concert, and those are the songs that he'll plug into every concert, you know, like where you hear that one or two good songs outside of the normal concert set list that he plays, you yeah. know. So it's kind of cool to see all this stuff in one show. It's just, you know, the one thing I've always dug about this particular show is his version of One Particular Harbor on this cut,
yeah, you love
in
it.
My opinion, is the best version of the song ever. It's, you know, he goes into the chorus twice, like back to back, where it's supposed to shift, kind of slow down, and he comes in with the same intensity as the first part of it. Yeah. And it's like the first time I heard it, I was like blown away, because I think before an intermission, they're playing some instrumental stuff, and then they come out and Bobby G's playing, I think, Pans, and he's sounds like it's a, you know, he's been out there for a little bit, and all of a sudden like the bass drum kicks in as he's going into it. I don't know, just something about it, just I love it.
Yeah, man, and I mean you got Sam Clayton on the congas, you know. Those who don't know, I mean, Sam Clayton was in the Coral Reefer for years, but, you know, is obviously famous for being in Little Feat, which was just phenomenal. I just absolutely love the band in this 85. You know, Josh Leo, you got Timothy B. Schmidt, you got obviously Utley, Clayton, as we mentioned, and then Robert Greenidge. I mean, he was fairly new because I think Robert Greenidge came in 82, I believe.
He was early 80s, I'm pretty sure.
81 or 82.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's just a really cool moment for Jimmy and for the Coral Reefers because, you know, up until that point, you know, I think this is really like start of that original, like unique kind of sound, right? The Gulf and Western, the folk rock, country, and calypso.
Right.
Kind of all coming together, and you know, they're just all in their prime. And I mean, Josh, I mean, someone like Josh Leo, I mean, he could just absolutely shred.
In a pair of overalls.
A pair of white overalls, man. Those are fucking just, that has to be the GOAT outfit. You know, it's just unbelievable.
What does Jimmy say? He lost his luggage and that's all he had?
Yeah, I think so. He lost his luggage. Yeah, he busts Josh's, chops a little bit on stage because Josh gets caught up, I think, during like Ragtop Day.
He's all twisted up in his cord.
At the end of that song, Jimmy's like, you know, mocking him, and it's pretty funny.
But you can tell, and I mean, when you watch it, like the one thing that you realize is how good of a time the whole band is having. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, as a band, I think what makes it, you know, a little unique too, is that obviously the band knows they're filming this for a, you know, they're producing a video for this, you know, they're going to put out a live, you know, a live VHS of this thing. And so they're all on, but that's how it is though. You know, that when I think of this band, whether they were playing in front of, you know, this huge crowd at Marine Stadium for this live, you know, this live album, or they are playing in, you know, a small place, like they all look like they're having fun out there.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What do you think sounded better, this Live by the Bay version of One Particular Harbor, the time that you heard Jimmy play One Particular Harbor when you sat side stage?
Two different situations. Everything sounded, Cheeseburger sounded great side
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, I bet.
You know?
So how did that happen? How did you get side stage? What's that story all about?
So I was in West Palm Beach. I think this was like 98, and I had gone down with my buddy Mark.
And are you sure it was 98? Because I feel like every time you're like, man, it was 98.
97, 98, 99.
Everything was 98.
Well, that's when I went to the majority of my shows.
Okay.
You know, 98, yeah. 99 is really where I went to the bulk of the shows I went to.
Gotcha.
where I was doing a lot of multiple, I did a lot of shows those summers. And, you know, the year before I had been at West Palm again, and I actually sat side stage with Craig and, you know, different, kind of a different scenario there. But, you know, the following year when I went with my buddy Mark, he was friends with the tour manager. And we had gone back during intermission, hanging out, getting some food, getting some more free beer. And, you know, tour manager comes out and we're just kind of shooting the shit with him. And show's about to start. And he's like, all right, guys, he goes, you know, you should get back out there. You know, show's about to start. And my buddy Mark was a bigger guy at the time. And the seats at the Coral Sky Pavilion in West Palm were like, you know, we were like second or third row. And they were like, he was cramped in there. They were like, you know, non-movable. They weren't folding chairs. And he's, you know, he just kind of said, I'm just going to hang here for a while. You know, I don't know if I'm going to go back to the seats or not. He goes, I'm pretty comfortable here. And so the guy's like, come on. He's like, come with me, and started kind of walking us through, you know, where the meet and greet and the backstage area was, and into kind of, you know, the amphitheater, the back of the amphitheater. And I'm freaking out. Like, I know where we're going, but I don't know where we're going. And so when we came through these big black curtains and we're behind the band, you know, off to the side and the crowd in the background, I was like, I couldn't believe it, you know, that I was of where I was. So, you know, they had some folding chairs, you know, side stage. He's like, you know, you guys can sit down there, move around, dance, whatever. He's like, just don't get in the way. Coolers full of beer, help yourself, and walked away. And I, you know, I'm sitting there and I got like, you know, this smile on my face. My face hurts. My buddy Mark, like, he was into Buffett, but like the only reason he went, cause he knew this guy and we got tickets from him, you know, okay. You know, my buddy Mark wasn't the guy that I drugged this guy to a show in Georgia one year. But so he wasn't the guy, like when Jimmy would come through town, he's like, oh, I'm going to see the show, you know? So he was just kind of chill with it. And I'm just like, holy shit. I'm like, I'm standing side stage. So it was a super cool experience.
Is there any one particular song that you remember from that set at all?
If I have to say it, it's Finn's. That's what stood out the most for me.
I guess you're side stage, right? You get to see that view.
Yeah. You know, you're in the audience every time you do it. And, you know, whenever I'm at a show, I always turn around and look behind me during Finn's, you know, they blast the lights on the, you know, in the arena, and you just see, you know, 18, 20,000 people all doing Finn's. And it's a cool, you know, it's a cool shot. And I remember it from the cover of Feeding Frenzy. I think if you open up the CD booklet, it's got a shot of everybody doing Finn's and from that perspective. And so to see it from that side, it was like, holy crap. Like, as a musician, like, to see that in front of me, like, you know, every night I play would be pretty cool. Yeah. So, but know, yeah, man. Finn's is what sticks out the most, just because I remember the moment.
Yeah. Man, that's something that you don't forget, right?
It was an awesome experience.
Imagine if you were side stage at Live by the Bay. Like dropping acid.
I don't know if I could handle that. I don't think my brain could handle that.
Yeah. Well, I don't taste the alcohol. That's the point, baby. That's what he says when he's talking about grapefruit on the show.
It's great because, you know, every time I hear it, I expect him to go, well, we don't drink, I'm going to pour all over you, you know, like he did. And you had to be there, which is one of the best lines I've ever heard.
Purple Passions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard the goat likes to drink Purple Passions.
No, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, man.
So, back to Live by the Bay.
Yeah.
So your last question was, you know, with one particular harbor, but what's your favorite part of Live by the Bay? Like, what song stands out the most for you?
You know, you look at songs like Cars on the Water, Ragtop Day, Who's the Blonde Stranger? If you go back and watch this show, those three songs have like a life of their own. because they just absolutely crush it. You know? And I think for me, there's a moment, I think it's Ragtop Day. It's Ragtop Day or Stars on the Water, where Josh, Leo, and Finger start at each end of the stage. And they walk towards each other, and they're both just absolutely shredding it. And then they stop at Jimmy, and Jimmy like turns to like each of them. And to me, man, it's like seeing that show, like I really fell in love with that band.
Yeah.
You know, and that style and that sound. And, you know, you got Leo in the overalls, and Jimmy's in the Only Visiting This Planet t-shirt and the yellow wristbands, and Finger's got a yellow, bright yellow shirt on. I don't know, man. They were just like edgy and cool, and they just rocked, man. I mean, they just absolutely shredded it.
If you guys are out there listening, you haven't seen this video, it's definitely a must. You know, I think you can do, can you get the full show on YouTube now?
Yeah, and actually somebody posted a pretty good quality one too.
Cool, cool. Do yourself a favor.
Absolutely.
You know, watch the show because it's just
special.
It's special. As close as you can be to be there. You know.
I agree.
As we talk about this, you know, the video side of it, you know, going over to the actual set list of what was played. Obviously, you know, they had probably a time constraint of, you know,
in 90 minutes,
something like that. You know, and so they, you know, they pulled, you know, songs and videos of certain, you know, through the set list. Cause I think the original set list had what, probably another 10, 12 songs on it, maybe 15 songs.
Yeah, easily. Cause,
I mean, just that medley alone was what, 8 songs, I think. So, you know, us as fans, like I would have, you know, I would have pulled a completely different show out of this, you know, if I had to, you know, pick and choose. A lot of it would have been similar, but, you know, for me, this whole song, or this whole concert, the actual part of it, is that medley. You know, yeah. I think we've talked about this before. It's just,
yeah, last episode a little bit.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, you hear it from start to finish, and you're just like, man, like, this is just, this is unreal. Like, this is, I would pay to see Jimmy play like this now.
Yeah, and you know? you're referring to listening to it because you have the Jones Beach leg show, which was in 85, which was the same tour, the Sleepless Nights tour. And that's why, because you were saying you were listening to it. I don't want people to be confused because this isn't on the video Live by the Bay.
Yeah, for sure.
This medley is on a bootleg capture, which was the same tour. And
I think it was right. It was pretty close to each other.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, and I think the set list is like, you know, 98% the same.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah. But dude, I have the medley right here. You got Nautical Wheelers, Tin Cup Chalice, with Drinks, Banana Republics, Captain and the Kid. That's, oh my God, bangers, right? Somewhere Over China. He Went to Paris. And then Cowboy in the Jungle.
And so yeah, you're right. It was off the Jones Beach show. So so when I do refer to that, that's what I'm talking about. But it's just, it's unreal. Like, to sit there and listen to it, like, all the emotions you go through, it's just, I don't know. It just captivates him in 8 songs.
I will say, in all the years that I've seen Jimmy, I have heard him play all of these songs live except Somewhere Over China.
Yeah, I'd have to look back and see. I mean, I can't remember, you know, what I heard, what I haven't heard.
I think I texted you last weekend or something, but I'm looking at Cowboy in the Jungle here. You know, I took my son to go see Santa, and then we got tacos afterwards, and we're walking downtown. And this guy's at a red light. This older gentleman, probably like mid-60s, and... And he had this his car stereo on volume maybe like 40. He was just blasting Cowboy in the Jungle.
How random.
Oh man, and it was just like, this guy's awesome.
You know? Did you start singing right away?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Cowboy, you know, Cowboy for me is probably top five favorite Jimmy songs.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But, man, that guy was just at the red light, just sitting back, blasting it, did not give a fuck. And it's like, man, this guy's awesome. But I will note, it was the Songs You Don't Know by Heart version.
Gotcha.
Not the original one of Son of a Sailor.
Still great in his own right, though, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. You know, looking more at the set list, the actual encore is Gypsies in the Palace and then Brown Eyed Girl. So they cut 15 songs from real set list for the video, because we had Let It Ride, which was a Josh Leo cover, and they did a tribute to Little George with Dixie Chicken, which is just fucking awesome. And then Timothy B. Schmidt did I Can't Tell You Why. And then they medley, or Jimmy goes into the medley, and then they end with Gypsies.
Yeah, he almost did like, I mean, the second encore, if you want to call it that, or the first encore, you know, after the medley is what, Cheeseburger, Finn's, and
Last Mango
and Pirate, and Margaritaville.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I mean, a five song, I mean, I call it an encore, you know, first encore, second encore, but, you know, even the rest of the set list is just, you know, it's a lot of the fan favorites, but it's still in that setting. You know, I'd take it any day of the week.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, this was also 1985.
Right.
You know, and the Big Ten wasn't in existence yet. You know, I think this initial kind of way they cut this film, and I do think that it began, you know, the start of the more kind of formulated set list, in my opinion.
Right. No, I mean, it was for sure.
It was like the beginning of it.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you know, we go through enough of these bootlegs that, you know, as you go in and start looking to see what you're going to download next, you know, I always look at the set list, and if, you know, 70% of it kind of speaks to me and the sound quality is good, I'll download it.
Yeah, totally.
And so you can see kind of where he's always been tight, though. Like, his set lists have always been very, you know, his main songs are in there, and
yeah, no, you know, definitely. I mean,
there's a structure to it.
I do think really pre-77, right? So pre-Changes in Latitudes, before Margaritaville came out.
Yep.
I mean, those set lists are pretty special and pretty rare.
All of them are. I mean, you know, they're all unique.
They really are.
And within this, you hear some of these older versions of the same songs you hear today. But, you know, some of the songs, like, you know, I love Nadira Shakur. I think she's got a great voice.
Yeah, totally.
And I love at a concert, man, when she starts belting out, you know, in Son of a Sailor.
Oh, for sure, man. And it's not a knock on the current Reefers or anything like that.
Not
you know,
at all.
It's just a
but
different.
To hear Jimmy sing it, like, I forget that he used to sing it.
Exactly.
You know? And, you know, same with, you know, Margaritaville, obviously, you know, it's a little bit different back then, but without hearing the salt in it.
Exactly.
And so it's cool to kind of hear these songs as they were written and performed, you know. Now there's a lot more involved in them, so it's cool to see that. It's one of the things I noticed listening to it.
I mean, now they have become like such a kind of expected and like almost legendary thing.
Well, I mean, the band's been, dude, they've been playing together for, you know, since what, Peter and Jim and those guys joined on in 88.
Yeah, no,
so
definitely.
It's, you know, this band's been very, very similar for the, you know, for the past 20 years. I don't think it's changed much, you know.
I think what I'm saying, as far as like a performance standpoint, right? I mean, somebody becomes so popular and so known, and things that, you know, got them success, you know, at some point you reach like that legendary status, and that's kind of what people expect of you. I mean, it's almost like, you know, going to watch Hulk Hogan in the 90s, like you want to see him drop the leg drop.
No, because or a big old flying elbow drop, you know,
from like Macho Man, you know, I mean, that's what you're going to see, because that's what, you know, what it's become.
Right.
And I think, you know, Jimmy in the same way, and kind of became that early on.
But, you know, it's, I hear you. I hear where you're going with it. And it is, it's, this was the start of something.
For
you
sure.
You know, of kind of the precursor to now. So, but just all around, just such a fun show.
Oh,
it's a fun show to watch.
It really is. And it actually has the hidden verse in Why Don't We Get Stoned and Screw?
Yep.
Which is just phenomenal. I was telling somebody before I got on here, I was like, and I think that's my favorite, one of my favorite versions of Why Don't We Get Drunk.
Of it.
Besides, yeah, you had to be there.
Yeah. What do we get now? Why don't we get lunch in school? Is that what he says now?
Yeah, that's very PG.
The kids.
Yeah, I don't think he was singing that back in 85.
Yeah, I don't think so.
When I talk about Jimmy Buffett, I kind of introduce people to Jimmy Buffett. There's definitely certain albums that I tell them about. Honestly, the thing that I always go to, I always say, if you really want to see like real deal Jimmy Buffett, go watch Live.
That's never even crossed my mind, like to introduce people like that. And it makes so much sense, because people listen to the music, but I think once they go to a show and see what happens there, and you get a really good feel of that from this show. That's actually, I think that's going to be my next moves. Next time somebody asks me about Buffett.
Yeah, man.
I like that.
You got to point them, to like the Holy Grails, right? I mean, it's Live by the Bay. I mean, you had to be there. They're staples. To me, it's just such a special time. And all the, like I said last episode, like, to me, all the decades could be special. And they're special in their own way. We all have our, you know, favorites. You had to be there, and Live by the Bay are just those kind of special moments.
And it's funny, because a lot of times, like when we talk, you know, it just randomly, or you'll shoot me a text, you know, you shoot me a Mark a text, and it's just, you know, a screenshot of what's on your TV, you know, and it always seems like Live by the Bay is not far, you know, from when we get those. So I know you watch that quite a bit and listen to it a lot.
I do, man. And I've been watching that thing, man, since I was like, probably in my mid 20s, you know, for a good 10 or 12 years now. You know, when I was in my 20s, you know, my friends and stuff knew that I was into Jimmy, and you know, they would know like Thursday nights, Zuck's getting out of class, and you know, he's gonna buy a 30 pack of Natty Lights and watch this Live by the Bay show.
Was that a typical college night for you?
Like, that was like a pregame. Yeah. So, man, it's funny. So you were talking about your story earlier with seeing Jimmy on stage, and I didn't see him on a side stage, but I did see him in a helicopter on the beach, and he gave me.
So you told. Let me stop you one second. Yeah. You told me this story,
yep.
And I remember when you told me, I'm like, this guy is fucking super high. And I'm just like, but when you told it to me, I was like, that is like the craziest story.
This is,
it made me laugh so hard because it was so random.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're good, man. This is a true story. So just to give everybody a little bit of context, I don't know, this had to be maybe 2012, 2013. But I was going to play a free show in Atlantic City, which is about, you know, 2 hours south of where, well, 2.5 hours of where I am now. But at the time, I was only about an hour away, because I was staying, it was in the summer, and I was staying at the Jersey Shore. And just to give some context, is a couple weeks prior this show being announced. I was in Atlantic City for 4 nights for a bachelor party. And let's just say I didn't go to sleep for 4 nights. And let's just say you don't want to be in a strip club when the lights turn on.
Never a good idea.
Never a good idea, man. So it was just one of those kind of weekends, and it was wild. It was crazy. And I came back up north, and Jimmy announces this free show on Atlantic City Beach, where I just was for 4 nights, and I can't go back down there. You know, like I just can't go back down there. Like, I'm just fried out. Can't do it. So, and you know, my partner at the time was actually like, "You're 100% not going down there." So whatever. So, you know, he announces the show and it's free because I think he was opening up like a Landshark bar down there in Margaritaville or something like that. And I'm down at the shore and I go out. I went out the night before. And I just let it rip like 3-4 in the morning. So I woke up the next day and let's just say I was looking for chocolate milk. Just not a good spot, but I was like, I'm going to go get some fresh air. So I took my dog to this place at the Jersey Shore called Island Beach State Park. It's this really beautiful state park beach. You can drive on if you want to.
Is this Gatsby?
Yeah, so this is Gatsby, my Bernese Mountain Dog. So Gatsby and I take a little, you know, take a little ride down there, really short ride. I'm super hungover. We get on the beach, and it's probably like 11, 12 o'clock. And nobody is on the beach. Like, I mean, absolutely nobody. It's just me and Gatsby, and you know, sitting on the beach and one of those moments where you're like, man, you can't do too many of those weekends, you know, because you're just gonna die.
You're kind of coming to Jesus talk with yourself.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, I see this black helicopter, you know, from the distance. I look to my left and there's this black helicopter riding the coastline. And I stand up, I'm like, I bet this is fucking Jimmy. Flying from his place in New York to Atlantic City, and he's just taken the coast all the way down because the Atlantic City show was on the beach. And I don't know why, I just threw up the fin, you know, and
fanboy number one.
Yeah. Throwing up the fin, man, no shame whatsoever. And sure enough, the passenger guy in the helicopter like leans out because, you know, you can see his body.
Yeah.
And he throws up the solo fin. I swear to fucking. And I'm like, holy shit, that was actually Jimmy. Sure enough, fucking like 3 or 4 days later, a news article came out and it talked about how Jimmy Buffett arrived to the Atlantic City Beach concert in a black helicopter. In a black helicopter. Hey, so Jimmy, if you're listening to this, man, that was me on the beach looking, I was about to die with my 100-pound black dog.
But dude, like, to me, like, when you told me it was such a random story.
Man, I went back and I told everybody and nobody believed me.
You know what? It doesn't matter.
Nobody
doesn't
believed
matter.
Me.
You were there, dude.
I was there. And man, I look back at that and I'm like, that is just so, so funny. You know?
Dude, it's so cool, man.
You know, hey, I wasn't at Live by the Bay in 85, but I got the fin.
You got the fin up from Jimmy in a black helicopter.
Hey man, I'll take it. You know, if that's my only problem, then life is good.
Yeah. So, well, man, I'll tell you what, Jay, I really like this topic.
Yeah, man, for sure.
You know, if I've said it before earlier today, if you haven't seen this, do yourself a favor.
Absolutely.
Clear your calendar for about 2 hours and just sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
Start to finish, because it's awesome.
Yeah. Have yourself a day. You know, have a six pack or roll a J and just kick back and enjoy it. Because in my opinion, it's the GOAT of shows.
It is.
It definitely, especially for the '80s.
So, but Jay, man, it's been fun. Again.
So yeah, we'll have to do this next time. It's going to be really exciting. Everything coming down the line, but I'm looking forward to episode 4, brother. Who knows where it's going to take us?
Who knows, man? But I'm happy to be along for the ride.
100%, brother. Party on, Twan.
All right, party on, Jay. Take care, bud.
Thanks for listening to the Full Button Podcast presented by the Songwriters Joint. Follow the Songwriters Joint on Facebook and Instagram for amazing content that features Marvin Gardens and all of his songwriting friends. Let's get together.